Come all you people, come and praise your maker. Come all you people, come and praise your maker. Come all you people, come and praise your maker. Come now and worship the Lord. Come all you people, come and praise your maker. Come all you people, come and praise your maker. Come all you people, come and praise your maker. Come now and worship the Lord. Come all you people, come and praise your maker. Come all you people, come and praise your maker. Come all you people, come and praise your maker. Come now and worship the Lord. Come all you people, come and praise your maker. Come all you people, come and praise your maker. Come all you people, come and praise your maker. Come now and worship the Lord.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to online worship. This is Renee Antrosio recording from my home in Champaign, and I am very much looking forward to this service. Pastor Emeritus Ron Simpkins is back in the pulpit. Well, he will be on stage, but rarely steps behind the pulpit except to retrieve his coffee. One of the things that I treasure about Ron is that he continues to learn and change on his long walk with Jesus and encourages us to develop and grow as well. When he sent me his title of Preparing for Our Next Steps with God and his focus text with John the Baptist, I was initially confused. Advent starts the last Sunday of November, not the first. But of course, we are preparing for Advent, planning to prepare, which might be just what we need this year to begin readying our hearts and minds now. I am excited for Advent, and I am glad for this opportunity to whet our appetites, to anticipate what God has in store for us. May today's scriptures, songs, and teaching strengthen us for the journey, encourage us to take the next step, and prepare us for God's good work. Welcome.
Mark 1:1-11, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in Isaiah the prophet, "Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." John appeared, baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And all the country of Judea and all Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and wore a leather belt around his waist and ate locusts and wild honey. And he preached, saying, "After me comes one who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, You are my Son. With you I am well pleased."
Prepare ye the way of the Lord. 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 Prepare ye the way.
want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. See you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. So pour out your power and love as we sing, holy.
This is Ron Simpkins here. I'm delighted and honored to be asked to be the teacher for New Covenant today. I pray that God will bless each of you who are listening from near or far away. I want to credit much of today's teaching to the Black theologian, writer, chaplain, Michael Washington, and his devotional book on Mark's Gospel that's titled Follow. And I also need to credit my daughter, Karen Hunt, who recommended Michael Washington's writings to me. Many of you will have heard Renee's recent teaching in which she emphasized that God's grace is broad and deep. I think one part of this abundant grace of God is that God is always preparing a gracious step of growth and service for us in our relationship with God. God's always ready when we're ready. Mark 1, 1 through 15 is Mark's introduction to his good news about what God has done through Jesus. Mark begins just before Jesus leaves home and begins his own new step with God, his public ministry. So today I'm going to focus on the first 11 of those verses in the introduction. Last week in the teaching at New Covenant, Jeff talked about how everyone has a story and how we should pay attention to those stories. And as I read Michael Washington's book, Follow, Washington convinced me that most sermons and teachings, including some I've done, ignore a very important part of Jesus' story. Stories, as Jeff said, we should be paying attention to. So I want to talk about that today. Part of Jesus' personal story is how he was prepared for his next step of growth and service in his relationship with God. And then that could be a model for us. First of all, in Mark, preparing Jesus for his next step in his relationship with God meant Jesus needed to understand that God often works in patterns. A few weeks ago in his teaching, Kevin reminded us that the great suffering servant poem in Isaiah chapter 53 wasn't originally a prediction about Jesus. It was about a pattern that happened often in Israel as they served among God among the nations, and also to prophets within Israel and to faithful remnants within Israel as they sometimes suffered for their faith. Like Kevin, I think a good number of passages that Christians often claim are predictions are actually words about events that happened long ago. And then Jesus and the New Testament writers saw these as patterns that could be filled with new depths and new meanings as God acted again. They weren't predictions, they were patterns. It was this understanding that God often works in patterns that was one part of what prepared Jesus for his next step of growth as he wanted to serve God, to move forward. In fact, Jesus' entire life had been lived in these patterns. Just think about the fact his father's named Joseph, the dreamer who saved his people in Egypt. His mother's Miriam, or Mary, Moses' co-leader, leader out of Egypt. Jesus and his parents flee to Egypt, just like the Jews had long ago. Long ago because of famine, now because of Herod. Returned from Egypt, just as the people of God had long ago. And that goes on and on and on, Jesus' entire life. As we turn to that introduction of Mark, every word in Mark 1 refers to an Old Testament pattern that prepared the way for what God would do through Jesus. Mark 1:1, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, or Jesus the Anointed One, the Messiah, the Son of God. Beginning. When you hear the word beginning, what do you and almost anyone who is familiar with the Bible think of? Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God. All about the creation in Genesis 1, and I think here intentionally a word used to remind us that there's a new part of the creation that's happening, a new part of what God's doing that's being moved forward in what God's doing in Jesus. Good news. That's a phrase from Isaiah. Isaiah loved the phrase, used it to talk about how God proclaimed peace to the people he was wanting to bring back from exile and reign among them. He also used it to talk about how there was good news for the poor, a passage from Isaiah 61 that Jesus quoted again in his first teaching when he was teaching in his hometown after in Luke 4. In the beginning of his ministry of good news, Jesus, Mark says. We read the word Jesus without thinking because we've got the English, but actually it comes to us via Greek, going back to Hebrew, and Jesus' real name was Joshua. He was named after the great warrior leader of the Jewish people who, following Moses, took them into the Promised Land. There were likenesses that Jesus lived out in that pattern of being the new Joshua. He too is leading us to a new place and new promises of God. There were contrasts. Joshua led people in as they destroyed the nation that was there. Jesus invites the nations in to what he's doing rather than out. Messiah, anointed, Christ. There were actually many kings, priests, prophets in the Old Testament, all of whom were called the Messiahs of God, the anointed ones of God. Just to mention a few, Aaron, King Saul, who David calls my Messiah, God's Messiah, my Lord. Solomon, even Cyrus, the Persian king who worshiped the god Marduk, God says, is my Messiah, who I've called to bring my people back, send my people back. And the phrase in Mark 1:1, still Son of God. Son of God was actually the pattern that began way, way back with Moses going before Pharaoh and saying, tell Pharaoh, Israel is my firstborn son. Let my son go. That pattern received a new content when David was told in 2 Samuel 7, David, God speaking through the prophet, I will be your son's father, and he will be my son. Mark 1, 2, and 3 continues this whole idea of patterns. Let me read it. As it's written in Isaiah the prophet, behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. This is a reference back to Isaiah 40, and it was originally a prophetic call for the exiles to prepare the way for God to act so that he could bring them out of the Babylonian-Persian captivity and bring them home. Mark says it's a pattern for understanding how John was used by God to prepare the way for Jesus, but also to prepare Jesus himself. Prepare Jesus to take his next step with God. What I'd like to do several times as I'm doing this teaching is have a prayer moment. Since you're listening on the recording, I would encourage you, in order to avoid long silences on the recording, after I mention the prayer, just turn off your recording for a minute and then turn it back on. You can take the time you want to take to pray. So I would encourage you to take a moment and pray. What patterns might God be calling you as an individual? Might God be calling us as New Covenant Fellowship to allow God to fill with new depth, new meaning, patterns that we read about as God acted with his people before, but now wants to act again and fill with new depth and meaning in our life as individuals and as a fellowship. Continuing, preparing Jesus for his next step with God. Another part of that preparation of Jesus was John's ministry. Mark 1, 4-8 reads, John appeared, baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And all the country of Judea and all Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the river Jordan. They were confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and wore a leather belt around his waist, ate locusts and wild honey. And he preached, saying, after me comes one who's mightier than I, the strap of whose sandals I'm not worthy to stoop down and untie. I've baptized you with water, but he'll baptize you with the Holy Spirit. I'm going to abbreviate this very much, but just think about the words. Baptism. This refers back to a practice throughout the Old Testament of cleansings by immersion in the temple that the priests did to make them ready to serve God. Wilderness reminds us of the Exodus, reminds us of the return from exile, as Isaiah just did. Confession, truth-telling. We need so much to tell the truth about our failures, our sins. Repentance, a willingness to turn away from things that are taking us away from God and turn toward the things that bring us to God. Forgiveness, rather than excuses. These are all Old Testament words and Old Testament promises and ways that God has interacted with his people for hundreds and thousands of years. And then, of course, there's John dressing so that he reminded everyone of the great prophet Elijah. So all of this is telling us that there are just patterns that God works in and works in again, and now is filling with new meaning. But the thing I wanted particularly in this Mark 1, 4 through 8 to emphasize is the two people that Mark specifically says were used to help prepare Jesus for his next step with God. Isaiah, the great writings of the old Hebrew Bible, and John, quirky, courageous lover of God. I would suggest if Jesus needed other people to prepare him for his next step with God, you and I do too. So I'm asking you to think for a minute. What writers have helped prepare you to seek or to grow in your relationship with God, to take the next step in your life with God? For me, some early ones were C.S. Lewis, who convinced me that you could be intelligent and still trust. Helmut Tillich, German theologian, who taught me to approach the Bible without doing it in a wooden kind of way. Jules Isaac, Jewish professor, who taught me the real need for Christians to repent for the way we treat Jews and have for so long. Phyllis Trible, writer who helped me understand, particularly with her book, Text of Terror, how hard it is sometimes for women to interact with the Bible and how I needed to take that seriously. So I'm asking you to think what writers are also, and also what particular people, quirky or not, really have helped you to either start to seek for God, to take your next steps with God. You know, most of us have one or more, quote, Johns in our life who drew us toward God or helped us begin to take a next step with God. So who are yours? Again, some of mine, Carlos, guy I played basketball with, Mr. Morgan, my college coach in basketball, Donna, who turned my life around, my parents who prayed for me from before when I was born, my two favorite professors in seminary, who I realized were also the two quirkiest. All of these were people who early in my life, there have been many more since, but in fact, many of you who are listening and who are been a part of New Covenant have been a part of those next steps for me. So again, a prayer time. And again, I encourage those of you listening just to take a moment and stop your recording. Pray and thank God for the writers, for the individual people who have really been used by God to prepare you for your next steps with God in the past. Continuing in Mark, verse 9. Another part of preparing Jesus for his next step with God was Jesus' willingness to respond to what God was doing in others. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. I'm impressed with how Jesus so willingly responded humbly and obediently to what God was doing in other people, not just John, but all the people who were responding to John and coming to be baptized. This was a part of preparing Jesus for his next step in his relationship with God. In fact, Jesus walked about 50 miles from Nazareth to somewhere down in Judea near Jerusalem and joined into what we might today call a renewal movement of people who were confessing, repenting, being baptized, accepting forgiveness. And you know, Jesus didn't come claiming, well, I'm great, I'm sinless. He just humbly came and said, I want to do what God's asking other people to do. I want to respond to the message that we, people of God, need to repent. We need to be baptized. We need to come and offer ourselves anew to God. And so Jesus did so. Prayer that I would encourage you to pray with me is just to think about what are things that God's doing in other people that you may need to respond to as an individual right now for your next step with God. What are things that God is doing in other people that we in New Covenant as a fellowship need to respond to humbly and just join into the movements that God is making in the lives of other people? Let's pray that prayer together. Continuing in Mark. Mark 1, 10 and 11. And when Jesus came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens being torn open, and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." And I want to underline, "You are my beloved Son, and I am well pleased," present tense. In response to Jesus' step of faithfulness and joining many, many others and coming to be baptized by John, God responds to Jesus with another step. We're told that the Spirit of God descended on Jesus in a new way. He's being empowered with new gifts for his upcoming ministry. My guess is, although I don't know for sure, but my guess is that this was a new ability to step into his ministries of healing and teaching and dealing with demons, etc. But however that stands, what seems clear is that there's a new filling of the Spirit of God in his life. So I would say if we as a fellowship are going to take a next step with God, we're certainly going to need a filling of God's Spirit too, a new one, a new renewal of that Spirit of God. If that's the only way Jesus can be prepared for next steps, it's certainly the only way we can. The same with me as an individual, with you as an individual. So I encourage you now to take a moment and pray. Pray and ask for infilling of more of God's Spirit. If you're willing to be more filled, and you're willing to be ready to prepare to take new steps, ask God to do that for you as an individual. Ask God to help us do that as a fellowship. I think it's really important to notice that Jesus didn't just receive a new infilling to empower the future serving. He also received a present assurance from God. That's why I emphasize that you are, and I am, well pleased. You are my beloved Son. These two are patterns, actually. The phrase, my beloved sons, reminds us of Genesis 22, where Abraham's son, Isaac, is described as my son, the one I love, my beloved one. And the phrase from Isaiah 42:1 is the one I am well pleased with. That we applied originally to either Isaiah himself or some servant of God at that time. So in these patterns, Jesus is reassured. I want you to think about it. I have a question. What great, wonderful, amazing things do you know of that Jesus has done up to this point in his life during his first 30 years? I would say pretty much zero. None of the things that Mark's about to tell us about have happened yet. If you go to Matthew and Luke, you read a little bit about Jesus' early life, but really doesn't tell us of any great things Jesus did. In fact, Luke just summarizes Jesus' early life by saying he grew in favor with God and with people and grew up physically, socially. So part of how God prepares Jesus for the next step in his life is to assure him that though he hasn't done any really great things yet, he is already loved and pleasing to God. You know, let that sink in. before he's done anything amazing. Who he is God's son, who's already pleasing to God. So the prayer that I would encourage you to pray, first as an individual, how is God trying to assure you? I already love you. You're already my daughter, my son. I'm pleased that you are. You don't have to do anything great to be loved by me. You are loved. So you're free to take the risk of the next steps with me within that love. Because you are my beloved daughter. You are my beloved son. And then also to pray. How is God trying to tell us his new covenant? I already love you. You don't have to do anything great in order to be my beloved people, my beloved congregation, because you are loved. You are free to take the risks of taking next steps with me without fearing you won't get it all right, because you are my children. Let's pray those prayers. I'll conclude with this prayer. Father, hear our prayers. The prayers we know to pray, the ones we didn't know to pray. Help us learn from Jesus how to prepare to grow and take our next steps with you. Assure us we can serve you, we can take those next steps with you, because you already love us. Amen.
It's hard to take the first step when I don't know the way. Each turn is so uncertain, I learn to walk by faith. But you gave me a promise that you would never leave. You will lead and guide me, Lord, I do. I never need to fear, although sometimes I feel alone, I know that you are near. My heart just longs to follow, I'm willing to obey. Take my hand and lead me, I'll follow.
I will answer. Lead. God of timeless grace, you fill us with joyful expectation. Make us ready for the message that prepares the way, that with uprightness of heart and holy joy, we may eagerly await the kingdom of your Son, Jesus the Messiah, who reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen.